Have your Bibles tonight, if you'll be turning with me to the 55th Psalm. That's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. Good to have some visiting with us tonight from other places. In Psalm 55, if you will, begin reading with me at verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. It's interesting to look back through history and observe mankind faces the same trials and troubles in every generation. Sometimes I think because we live in a technological advanced stage, we think that we have all new problems. But when you look back in the 55th Psalm, you'll find that David of old was struggling with some of the same issues we struggle with. And if you take your Bible, look at some of the things David said. David said in verse 2, I am restless. Notice that David at that time was in a state of mind that was filled with anxiety. And David said, I am restless. But then, if you will, look at verse 4. In verse 4, he said, my heart is severely pained. So here was a man who's heartbroken. Here is a man who's restless. Then, if you will, drop down to verse 5. He talks about being fearful. And he talks about being overwhelmed and that horror has overwhelmed him. So David is filled with many different emotions. And notice what David said in verse 6. In verse 6, he said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and find rest. Now, David, you mentioned you were restless. And David, here you are, you're looking for rest. Now, I begin to look at that man, David, and I begin to ask, why, David, are you in such a mood? The first thing I thought about is here is David who was a king. He would be a man who had a lot of wealth. Here was a man who had military might and power. Here was a man who had others look up to him. So what was it that caused this man to say that I wish I could fly away? I could see David in the city of Jerusalem, perhaps in the king's palace, looking out over the city and seeing the dove take flight. And he says, I wish I was that dove. And notice that David said, I would fly far away. And David talks about, I would hasten my escape. I think when he talks about wandering far off and remaining in the wilderness, perhaps he's thinking back to when he was a shepherd boy. He's thinking about getting away from all the trials. So that raises a question in our study tonight. Just why was David in such a mood? The first thing I think we could look at is the fact he has a problem that is overwhelming. There is something David faces that he doesn't feel equal to. As king of Israel, he looks out over the kingdom and it's now divided. And David sees political unrest and David sees those that were his people beginning to line up against him. And David's heart is broken because when he looked out at a nation, he doesn't see his people unified. He sees division. And so David said, if I had the wings of a dove, I'd fly away from this. This is a problem that is greatly distressing me. But then if you take your Bible, notice a second thing. Notice the one leading the rebellion. You remember in 1 Samuel 17, when Goliath came out and challenged the people of God, David raised his hand and said, I'll fight the giant. But this time when he looks across to see the enemy, he's not seeing a Philistine. He's not seeing a giant. He's seeing his own son, Absalom. And you talk about a broken heart, my friend. When David looked up and saw that the one leading the rebellion was his own son, there's no doubt, no controversy in the statement that David would want to get away from that. David would not want to fight his son, because if he loses, it's his death. But to win over his son is going to cause death of his son. So David said, this is an issue I don't want to deal with. I am restless, I'm heartbroken, I'm grieved, I'm depressed. And David said, if I could just fly away, if I could sprout wings like a dove, I would get out of here. I have a question. You ever felt like David? But then go a step. David realizes he's older now. There was the time that David went out and fought the giant. But when he writes Psalm 55, David's getting a little gray. In fact, the business, after he crosses the Kidron Valley and goes to the other side, when they go to have battle with Absalom, they say, you don't go with us, David. Now you think about David, the warrior, he's starting to feel the age. And you know, sometime in life when you start to get a little older, things just start to bother you a little more. I'm at the stage now when I bend over to tie my shoes, I look around and see if there's anything else I need to do while I'm down there. So you think about this man, David, he's getting a little older, he's starting to hurt a little more, and David said, I just wish I could get away from all the stress, all the problems, all the aches of life. But I think there was something else haunting David. I think David had the memory of his sin. I think that David remembered what caused a lot of the rebellion from his children. Remember, God had said back in 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel 12 that because of your sin, the sword will not part from your house. And there's going to be a fourfold consequence, and David loses four of his children. And David's thinking, if only I had remained faithful. If only I had been a good example for my children. If I had the wings of a dove, I'd just fly away from Jerusalem. I would go back to Bethlehem. I would not even think about it. But I think there's something else. If you take your Bible, look in Psalm 55, and notice what David said in verse 12. And he's talking, I believe, about Ahithophel, who was a counselor of his, who stayed with Absalom during the rebellion. He said, it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in the throne. David said, I feel the bitter betrayal of Ahithophel. And David said, you know, I've had the knife stuck in my back, and if I could just fly away so I don't have to deal with this pain, I'd do it in a moment's heart. But now then, I want you to think of something else as we make our study. David is not showing cowardice. David is showing brokenness. David was a warrior, not a weakling. And his cry is the voice of a broken heart. He's under heavy burden. He feels that the burden's too great for him. But you know, when I study Scripture, I see others who felt the same way. I think of Moses, who in Exodus 32 and 32 prayed for death under the weight of leadership. And it's Moses in Psalm 90 that talks about our life is just as a sigh. And then we fly away. Then you think of Jeremiah. Look in Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah, when he is writing, he talks about the great pain that he is going through. And he says in verse 1, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. Jeremiah is saying basically the same thing David is. He says, I want to go to the wilderness. I want to get away from the people. I want to get away from the sin. And he said, if I could just have my head just weep day and night, he said, that would be what I need. Then I think of a third man, Elijah. You remember in 1 Kings 19 that Elijah, after the great victory on Mount Carmel, goes and sits under a juniper tree, and there he asked God to take his life. So when I look at this, I see great servants of God sometimes want to fly away, sometimes want to get away from the issues they're facing. That sometimes servants of God get depressed. I don't know how many times in life I've had people say, "Preacher, Christian ought not ever get depressed." I'm not arguing what they ought not do. I want to tell you, sometimes you do. That there are times in life you get low. There are times in life you're facing something and it is overwhelming. So what do? I want you to think about some things we face. I want you to think about church problems. You show me a man that likes church problems, and I'll show you a man that has something wrong with his heart. But I'll tell you what, I've seen individuals who just love to have problems. But if you're embroiled in church problems, I know one thing, it's hard to sleep at night. And it hurts to see brother divided, just as it hurt David to see his kingdom divided. Here we are to be brothers and sisters in Christ, and perhaps sometimes we expect more out of one another because we all say we're following in the footsteps of Jesus, and yet sometimes there can be such ungodly action. You don't believe me? You ever sit through a business meeting? I've always said business meetings are God's punishment for not having elders. You got to have them if you don't have men qualified, but I'll tell you, I've seen some of the most ungodly behavior. I'll never forget my father was overseeing one. And they began to have a fuss, two men. And one even got up and threatened to whip the other. And I'll never forget what Daddy said. Daddy said, "Gentlemen, I'm not sure who's right in this issue, but I know one thing, Satan's smiling on this church." And I've often thought about local works that have problems. I want to tell you, that can just cut, and you can just wish you could get away from it. You wish you could sprout wings and fly away because it's heartbreaking. It causes restlessness. It causes overwhelming feelings. But I'll tell you, there's a second thing. Family problems. Have you ever had family problems? I've had some people say, "Well, preacher, my wife and I have never had a cross word." Well, first, my marriage ain't that boring. Sometimes I'll stir something up, just stir it up. But I'll tell you this. There was a little boy down in Nashville, Tennessee. They went and heard a preacher, and the preacher got up, and he said that he and his wife had been married 60 years, never had one cross word. They raised their children. Children minded them all the time, never had a problem. Little boy went out to the car that night, got in the car, looked up his daddy, and said, "Hey, Daddy, can we go hear that liar again tomorrow night?" I think that's right. Because I think most of us, if we're honest, have gone through problems. We've even had a problem with a spouse. We've had a problem with a child. We've had a problem with a sibling. And I'll tell you something, when you go through that problem, it can be heartbreaking. I don't know how many times I've seen mothers and fathers wet their pillow with tears because their child was unfaithful. And their heart is breaking. And many times, if we're not careful, some of us look at them and we blame the parent when the parent is not to be blamed. Don't you know that parent might already be going through enough, even if they weren't a good example? They're trying to do it now. And I'll tell you, the last thing they need is someone else riding their back. They need someone to put their arm around them. I'll tell you something, my friend. Sometimes I think that we don't see the hurt of a parent. We don't see the heartache. We don't see the parents who say, "I just wish I could fly away." But then out of that, sickness. You ever got a diagnosis you didn't want? You ever heard your spouse is going to be sick? You ever heard the doctor say, "We can try radiation and we can try some chemo and it might ward it off for a while, but there's no way we can cure it"? I want to tell you, that's a time you just want to fly away. I've sat in rooms where my family and where other loved ones have been told, "There's nothing more we can do." And that sickness that they're facing is going to be life-threatening. And there, you have to tend to them. You know, sometimes we see the sick person, we don't see the spouse who wants to fly away because their life has been completely altered. It's not that they don't want to do it. I'll never forget when my mother was lying in bed and my father was trying to give her a little bit of a bath on her arms and just clean her up a little bit. And I remember her crying and saying, "I'm sorry you have to do this." And I remember him saying, "You would do it for me." Now, we would, But that's emotionally and physically draining. You ever had to take care of your parents? I'll tell you, that's hurtful. It's not that you don't love them, but it can cause pain. Here, I knew when the time had changed from when my mama quit taking care of me to when I started taking care of them. It was the day that she stopped doing this, and I did that when the car stopped. You ever did that to you? I remember when I was a kid, I'd get clotheslined every time the brakes came. Then I caught myself doing it to my mother. And when sickness comes and you start to think the worst, you just want to fly away. But then when death comes, oh, I'll tell you, there's a time you just wish you could just get away from it all. It's when you stand at the graveside. And the one you've spent year after year with is no longer with you. Or maybe a child that you had hopes for, you're buried. Maybe a mother who was expecting and the child never was able to go and they have a miscarriage and there's this pain that they're dealing with. And you say, I want to get away from it. It's crushing me. It's killing me. I have this great grief. So what do you do? Because we can't fly away. I've yet to see anyone sprout wings. Well, I want to tell you something we need to be careful not to do. We need to be careful not to look for false escape. That's when we turn to the world and what the world offers for escape. I've seen a lot of people who once walked with God who've left the faith and they've become addicted to a substance, whether it be drugs or alcohol. And the reason, they're looking to something to numb their pain. They want something to just ease their mind from the overwhelming burden. Or they may turn to another sin, or they just may try to run away from God and everyone. I want to tell you, you can't run away. Because there's no earthly escape that gives peace. All earthly escapes give more bondage. But look at what David said in Psalm 55. In Psalm 55, notice several things David said to do. Look, if you will, in verse 16. As for me, okay, David, you can't sprout wings, you can't fly away. What are you going to do? As for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Underscore call. Now, David said, I understand that these are problems beyond anything I can do. So what I'm going to do is go to the one who can help me through this. He said, I'll call on him. He'll save me. So at least he's looking in the right direction. Instead of running from God, he said, I'm going to run to God and I'm going to call on God. Now notice the second thing in verse 17. Evening, morning, at noon, I will pray and cry aloud and he shall hear me. Underscore cry. Now that's a little more intense. It's not just saying, Lord, here I am and here's my need. Crying is pouring your heart out. It's one thing to say a public prayer. It's another thing to get in your closet and just pour your heart out to God. And just be completely honest. Let God know how you feel. He already knows it. You're not hiding anything from Him. So let Him know you're hurt. Let Him know how you feel. Maybe you feel disappointed in how He's done something. Let Him know all that. But you pour Him out. And notice He said, He will hear me. And look at that in verse 18. He's redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. David said, that's what I'm looking for, is peace. He said, now, there's many who were against him at war with him, but God will hear and afflict them that were at war with him. But look again at what he says in verse 22. He said, I'm going to call on God. I'm going to cry out to God. Then he said, I'm going to cast my burden on the Lord. David said, for me, I'm going to call, I'm going to cry, I'm going to cast. And cast is fully surrendering. You think about what Peter said in 1 Peter 5, 7. If ever was anyone who knew about casting, it was Peter being the fisherman. He said, you cast your burden on the Lord. Cast is, you're throwing it, you're saying, I can't do anything with it. I'm fully surrendering this to you. He said, you cast your burden on the Lord. And what is the promise? He shall sustain you. He shall never permit. Now watch it. The righteous, underscore righteous, to be moved. That doesn't mean he's going to take away the problem. David's still going to have to fly through the storm. He said that in verse 8. He said, I wish I could escape the windy storm. I can't escape it. But thank God I don't face it alone. You ever thought about in Matthew 14, when Peter gets out of the ship and begins to walk, the enemy at the time was the waves. But where were they? Already under the feet of Jesus. What are our enemies? Sin. Well, what did it say he's going to do in Genesis 3:15? He's going to crush the head of sin, the serpent. Now, the serpent's going to crush his heel. But you think about the crushing of the head of the serpent, that's where the poison bag's at. And he said, I'll get rid of the serpent. And think about what else? He said, death. What has he done? He's put death under him. He said, it's a footstool in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm not facing anything Jesus hasn't already conquered. And I want to tell you, that's why I'm thankful he's my high priest. I want to be able to talk to someone and through someone who's endured what I've endured. You ever tried to talk to someone who can't understand your problems? I remember we had a fellow at Florida College. I had a heartbreak with a girl. I went and got some cookies and some donuts, and I was listening to the Muppet song, I Hope That Something Better Comes Along. And this boy come in, and I thought, I was just going to tell him all my heartache. And I said, now, Ralph, this, this, and this. And Ralph looked at me and said, can I have a donut? Not a word. Get your donut, get out. You're terrible. You want someone who can understand. And what does it say? We have a high priest who can what? Sympathize with us. He's been tempted. He's endured everything that we're going to endure. But I'll tell you something else. When you think about that crying and casting, think about the promise of what we have in Christ. That we have rest in Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, look at what he says. It's a beautiful picture in Hebrews 4. But he's talking about the rest. Look down at verse 9. He said, therefore, there remains a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from him. Look at verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Rest. Look at what he says in the Revelation letter and the 14th chapter. In Revelation 14, those who are undergoing persecution, he said, you write to him, John, and say, blessed are the dead. Well, that don't seem right. We don't want to die for our faith. He said, write to him and say, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Now, make sure you get that part. Well, why? Because they may have rest from their labors. We live in a restless world. This world's not home. It's never going to be restful. I remember one time when I was a young man, I went home and I was laying on the couch, and Daddy said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm resting. He said, from what? Your room's a mess. The yard hadn't been mowed. You got to do something to rest. And notice he said, here, go work. It's not time to rest yet. But when we do, it's in Him. And think about what we talked about the other night in Luke 16. We ain't going to be able to fly away like in a dove. But there'll come a time we can fly away with the angels of God to go home. And that was what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Instead of asking for the wings of a dove, why don't we ask for the wings of an eagle? He said in verse 31, those who wait on the Lord. Now that's our problem. David was struggling with the waiting part because of all the uncertainty and the restlessness and the pain. And he said, you still got to wait. He said, you wait on the Lord. And they renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Renew. One last thing in the lesson in the meeting's yours. Go to Nehemiah chapter 6. When I was making a study, this really stuck out to me. In Nehemiah 6, you remember that they had the conspiracy with Sanballat trying to get Nehemiah to come down. And remember, Nehemiah is up on the wall building, and Nehemiah says, I can't come down. Why should the work cease while I leave and come down? And so they send these messages to him to say, here's what's going to happen, and you need to come down, and you need to save yourself, and you need to go to the temple, lest they kill you. And look at what he says in verse 11. Should such a man as I flee? David, what did you want to do? I wanted to flee. I understand it. There's times I've wanted to. But Nehemiah, what did you do? I may have wanted to, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to go to the temple to save my life. I'm not going to go in. And I like that statement he said in verse 3. I cannot come down. That's the same thing Jesus said on the cross. I can't come down and save them. I'm doing a good work. I'll tell you something. Life is not fair. The fair comes to the county once a year, and sometimes it's not very fair-minded. Life's not fair. But don't mistake life and God. God's going to balance the accounts later. And God doesn't owe us anything. Even as His children, He doesn't owe us any explanation. When you look at the life of Job, Job in 23 says, I would stand before God. He'd give me an answer. And then in Job 38, God said, all right, Job, you want to be a man? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Tell me if you know. And he asked 60-something questions. Where were you when I made the billy goat to act like it acts and the ostrich to lay her eggs? Surely you know. If you think you understand suffering, Job, tell me these other things. Because if you don't understand that, what makes you think you'll understand why you suffer? We see behind the curtain Satan and God's little thing. Job never saw that. It's never said to him. Even at the end when he has 10 children, he still had the grief of losing 10. We sometimes act like, well, the grief's gone. No. You don't just replace a child. And so you think of Job at the end of the book. Job says, I'll put my hand over my mouth. There's things too wonderful for me. I don't understand. I don't always understand why we suffer. And I want to be honest with you, no one does. But when you look at Job, you remember this, if you remember nothing else from the sermon. Have you ever thought about what God had writing on Job? He told Satan, my servant won't curse me. And Satan keeps saying, let me do something and you will. My question to you is, have you ever thought about what God may have writing on you? Your child may be unfaithful. Your spouse may be deceased. You may be lonely, and you may have pain that no one can describe emotionally and physically. But God says you're useful. And don't you forget, you're my servant. And my son was also a servant. And he came to earth to redeem you. And as long as you live in him, there's going to come a rest, but you don't quit till you get home. It's always too soon to quit. And so like Job, we need to say, though he slay me, I'll trust him. And we need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Because I want to tell you something. We've sing the song further along, we'll know all about it. I don't know. God's not under any obligation to tell us. Because as His children, we don't live on explanations. We live on promises. And His promise is, you be faithful to me and I'll take you home. My question to you tonight is, how far along in the journey are we to going home? And as we get closer, doesn't it grow sweet? Teddy Roosevelt had gone to Africa on a safari, and he'd come back, and when he got back to the country, they had a big parade for him, and there was a missionary that had come back from Africa at the same time. He got off the same ship as Roosevelt. Here, they take him down to a big parade, and the missionary didn't have anyone to greet him, and he started to get a little bitter. He says, why, I'm out here serving the Lord and trying to please the Lord and be a servant. This fella's just off shooting things, and they're welcoming him home. And then it hit him. He's not home yet. I don't know what it would be like to see the face of Christ, but it's then I'll know him. Question, can you hold on until you get home? God help us. If you need to be baptized or restored, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.